we'll call the meeting to order and I'll go ahead and pray for us. Our kind of gracious Father who art in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity which we have to meet together and pray that we may discuss matters with your strength and members. We may make wise decisions and do that which is beneficial in moving forward and the enjoyment of this area. We thank you for these blessings and do so in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Here you go.
Thank you.
Good guess.
All right. Uh-huh.
When do you start?
So we just finished this prayer. Still here, so we now have a quorum. So let's go ahead and turn the time over to Kathy to review the meeting minutes and get those approved from the last meeting.
I hope everybody's gone over them so we don't have to read them. But there was only one thing that I could see that probably needed to put on there, and that was when we were talking about the $10,000 for improvement of the cabins. If we could specify that it was for two cabins, 7 and 8, that way it specifies that. And other than that, that was all that I could see. Does anybody else see anything else?
No, they look good to me. John, do you have any comments on the meeting minutes from last meeting?
No, I believe Kathy's right that we did discuss that was $10,000 for two cabins, $5,000 apiece. So I have nothing else.
Call for a motion to approve the meeting minutes from last meeting.
I approve.
Okay, Kathy makes a motion. Do you have a second?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, do you already have a motion, John? Do you want to second it?
Yes, I will.
All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
The tiers of voting for the meeting minutes of last meeting are approved unanimously. Now, just as a discussion for just a second, I know Joe's running behind schedule, and we may have to take things out of order, but what I'm hoping is, in these meetings as we move forward, that we make these meetings an opportunity to make decisions, and while we need to discuss certain items, we certainly can't hold as much discussion as necessary, but I'd like to keep the discussion to what's pertinent and on point, just because I recognize everybody, the value of everybody's time in these meetings, and we should be able to, cross your fingers, we should be able to have the meeting and also the executive session in 2 hours from now. There are going to be times when that can't happen, but today especially I think we need to reserve some time for the executive session, so let's move things forward as quickly as possible and we'll just take them in order. Obviously, I don't want to cut anybody off for the discussion, but if it's unrelated to the specific item we're working on and making the decision, let's have those discussions outside of the meeting and make it easier. Does that make sense? Anybody want a longer meeting?
I'm ready for lunch.
All right. Okay, since Joe's not here yet, we'll skip the financial report for right now. And let's go to the office report's tied directly to the finances. So let's have the ranch caretakers, Bill and Rachel, take a few minutes to give us kind of an update of what's been happening, what you've been working on, what help we can give you, and you know where your what your projections are as far as the future, and then we'll ask questions as far as board members.
Like y'all guys have seen last night, we poured cement for that passive generator. We did operate the generator. Me and Brad, he needed an ear, and there was nothing wrong. So it ran just great. Fired right up. We set it off several times. Back on, started right back up, goes down. So we went ahead and poured the cement there.
We our cars in the cement pad. Don't want to get in our bowl and cement, but he sounds very anxious. I put Denver for big measure, but Pete Phil and Larry
Hi.
And Jeff Nicholson And then I just put DSR and I put November stuff.
So, yeah, so that was a fun project. We've been working on trials and trials are major. I mean, be able to have the Longhorn people be able to do their job properly in trials and to be rebuilt. So we have rebuilt up to the point where they can be used, but so there's a lot of half-done work, but we just work up to the current standard. So if you need to go out here and go look, you'll say, well, why didn't they change that? Well, we ran out of time. So, but it is usable, and I think that how we've done it, kind of did some redesigns where we've sectioned off those water mains so they cannot have cattle on them, and then reworked the stampede and the gate so that it made sense for a flow of anybody working cattle. It doesn't matter whether you're working longhorns or pens.
That would have been great had we not let the cats out. Right, got them
all gathered up
underneath. Hopefully we can get them out. So hopefully we
can
fix that.
Yeah, we did some
great work.
Yeah.
So we didn't spend money on fences within our budget. So in the next couple of years, let's just talk to you to score all of the trials that are, that there are, should be some really nice pictures.
And we'll work on
grim and things. A little bit of
the
time
when
you have.
We know and have our
bearings. Since our last meeting that we closed down cabins, give us an update on where all the cabins are.
So I've got 1, 2, and 3 are completely done. They actually have all their linens washed and restocked to the cabin. So we bought them bins, remember, a couple months ago? And those bins are used to keep, like, sheets, the towels, the rugs, all the cleaning supplies. I filled up all the cleaning supplies, you know, restocked the sheets in these bins to keep them from the mice. The only thing I know, maybe that a couple more bins, just depending on, I don't know, so far our work is, but I haven't gotten to the lower cabins yet, and it's just a matter of washing all the linens. Now I have to wash them later on in the day because the pipes are cold, you know, frozen in the hose in the morning. So, anyway, I do know we will need those zip pillow cases. We're really low on those. And we can use regular ones, but people just bring them down all the time. So they think it's part of the regular pillow cases instead of just leaving them still covered on. You know, I don't have that problem with the zip ones. So maybe think about that for added into the budget, just some zip pillow cases.
Okay, just quickly on that, I need to know numbers, what they cost. Can you look into that?
Yeah, I can look into it.
I mean, we can look at fitting it in the budget, but we're relying on you guys to come up with numbers and say, this is what we need.
I'm keeping a tally.
And this is what we think it'll cost.
Yeah. So I'm keeping so far just a tally from which cabin I don't have all the locations in. Yeah. I mean, so I can give you that number probably in the January. That way it'll be on next year.
Okay. So as far as the road, there's a road going out to Deer Springs Point. Carry water out to water the cows. And we've been approved to grade that. We've been waiting for moisture to do so. We have enough moisture, and we're going to do that after we get home. We'll grade that road. So that hasn't been done yet. But we did clear out some culverts up by Red Reservoir for John's request. And we did take loads of road base up into some several spots on our road and level those areas out so that they were potential mud holes. So during when the last big rain was, there was all these mud holes up that road. Meadow Canyon Road. We went up ahead and dumped several roads going up there and straightening those out. And there's some more work that needs to be done that we're going to do. We've noticed some road damage in between the two cattle guards in the upper meadows. If you go over it, guards are pretty good. We're just going to take the backhoe up there and fill those out and that type of thing. We did take a lot of shovels.
We mixed the cement by hand because our cement mixer does not work. We cannot get it to work and basically the engine's bound up. So Grant, we discussed that we'll probably look for on Amazon for cheap ones. Just know that we do need a cement mixer for the future too. That can be on next year's budget. But mixed it by hand in the bucket of the backhoe was a great adventure. But
I'm going to suggest on that just we don't use it often. One, and they're very mobile, so we'll just rent one from St. George and drag it over. here at Beehive Rentals. The reason being is we don't use them often enough to keep them in good shape.
Yeah, it's pretty problem.
It'll cost us a little bit extra to use a rental one. But I have lots of clients that run heavy equipment, and sometimes things like that you just rent. It's a lot easier. You don't have to maintain it. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah, we test it the morning, you know, before the morning off, so taking the flurry and Jeff showed up. But anyway,
you
got that.
Did this video at the ranch, you know, the leaves, cleaning up the leaves, and keeping everything clean, and trying to downsize some things, and I think, you know, every day is just a new adventure.
You guys were involved on the Johnny Brown Road. I don't know if you or Kathy wants to, I think we need to kind of create a record as to what happened there and how that went. I wasn't there, so.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, we've had 8 people there. Rachel ran the dump truck. I had a dump truck that was self-unused, and it broke down. Phil, he was on a hand and shovel, opening culverts and working the backhoe in the pit. We had 2 people there. Brad was on the grader, and we were able to do the majority of the roads. We got to lot 5. At the bottom of the Bob Hector's place. That's as far as we could go. And we started at about 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and went until 5:36.
You look at pictures?
Yes, I did. I got some too.
Are we going to include an article on that in the upcoming newsletter?
Yeah, I talked to Mariah about that, and we're going to do that.
I think we want to do that because, A, it shows that things are happening. And B, it encourages other neighborhoods to get together and figure out how to, you know, improve their areas and help ranch and help themselves. So,
we probably could have gone another hour down the road, but we fixed the culvert. You know, sent the culvert and dumped a whole truckload of big rocks to support the culvert. So that should be better for people to wider road over that culvert.
That's their bring for Haas culvert there. And
I just get to do that.
We do have another culvert. I talked to John about that, and it needs to be replaced. But he wants to go with a 30-inch, and he would probably pick that up in the spring and help him fix that. That's in front of Lock Chambers. He's got a road washer for him.
Help us on culverts. I had a dental patient call, and in my office, and he said that the players or whatever they call them, they've had a whole bunch of larger culverts in the yards or whatever for years that they haven't used, and they're going to do this safely. And so, they just put 4 foot culverts. He says, usually, they'll be bitten on this stuff. And, so I don't know exactly how to know when it's going to, but it's prepared that it's going to happen sometime in the next month or two. And, probably just hit a big problem.
Mm. Did you hear that, John?
Well, I was having a hard time copying that because for some reason you sound real wavy on there. In other words, it's semi-breaking up. So,
get with Phil Hall, and he'll give you a contact name for maybe a really good in on some really decent price, large culverts that you might want to use.
It's Paul Brady.
Oh, Paul Brady. Do you still have Paul's number?
Well, I have his old number. I haven't called it a long time, so I don't know if it's the same one or not.
Mariah will send it to you.
Okay.
And John,
yeah.
You said that they're having an auction to Arizona County there, whatever, they have a whole bunch of larger culverts that they're probably not going to be highly bid on, and if we show up, we could land a lot of them at a pennies on the dollar.
That would be nice. All right. I'd like to find out more about that.
Let's make sure we don't miss that opportunity. If they're going to get rid of their inventory,
When are they going to do that? Do you know?
He didn't say exactly. He said probably in the next month or so. So we need to get on it sooner rather than later.
All right.
Great. Well, just for everybody's information, we're going to take roll call once Joe's here because we know he's coming. We want to get everybody on there. There's also snacks and bowls if you want salty or nuts or whatever. Help yourself.
Well, pack the bowl and come.
Well,
that, just for reference, if people don't know that road, because I didn't know that reference, but it's that S-curve. It's a big S-curve if you're coming up Johnny Bacanown that we've all gone, that we've hauled that 5 or 6 dump trucks of big rocks for Deller to fill in with his backhoe. And so what we did, we searched around on the ranch and found a 16-foot, 18-inch culvert. And we stuffed it up into that other culvert and extended that out about 8 feet. And so then we had to
find which one? On the one that had that 12-inch culvert in there?
That's the Brinkerhoff.
Right after the big wash. Like right after the big wash.
That's Johnny Brown.
Okay.
So that's
the one that walked down to the bottom.
So you did get a larger one in there that you could extend it to. So that hole keeps washing out. 20 footers are just not long enough.
Yeah, we extended it out pretty good, and we felt comfortable that fit. Because we put big rocks down around it, and then backfilled the road day.
What'd you end up doing on that upper one down there that had the broken plastic culverts on that little 12-inch culvert a little further down?
Friday, we cleaned it out. We got the rocks off it and the dirt. We cleaned it out the best we could. And then we put rocks around it. And then with the grader on the north side of the road right there in front of Lot 10, we did kind of a trench because that's where the water problem was. It was coming up over the road and washed the road. So we did that, so it would go down into the north side culvert to come through. And Lee said that water was still coming through it. So and hopefully that'll be okay for winter, and then we can fix it in the spring.
No, that culvert's too small. And up on the curve, you're coming out before it even gets to that culvert. We're going to have to do something there in the spring, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wondered what you guys got done. That looks down, you know.
Yeah, they actually got something about you not being there, John. It's a special occasion where you're not all down in our history. Anything else from caretakers? Anything else you want to report before we start firing questions?
Yeah, just that we, you know, she got some invaluable experience on the dump truck, and I learned how to use that grizzly.
Good.
So that'll be good. Thank you. Use our grizzly at the ranch.
Does it have to be welded or fixed by a person?
It does. It needs skids put on it.
Okay. Well, that's a project we can think of in before we get busy again or whatever works with our resident expert weld instructor. So, any questions from any of the board members or board members that are here for Phil and Rachel?
So, Kevin, your residence, are we done with projects? Do you have more projects? Where are we at? Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Is there anything else you feel needs fixing?
Any more repairs in the ranch house?
Things that weren't done or accomplished? Or
we just picked up a fridge, but we discussed for next year.
We're going to look for a fridge and electric one.
We were going to fix the front porch. It needs to be fixed so the rattlesnakes can't get in there. We're just going to sheet it and paint it.
That keeps the mice away. What are you talking about?
Makes it pretty interesting in the morning.
So our refrigerator and work on the deck, is that
going to be the deck? Yeah, that's it, I think.
Did we figure out what we're going to do on the hot water heater to keep it from freezing? Are we going to
We're going to use barrels of straw this year. Okay. Again, but next year we're going to build a outer building and insulator, so we don't have to keep spending $10-$11 on straw. Okay.
Okay. For the ranch house, we'll go here. You're going to have.
there's nothing that'll keep the cold out. I mean, if the heat's turned off, then the cabin's not cold. Even 15 inches of insulation after 6 or 7 days, the cold will penetrate it still.
Yeah, this drive has been doing, Paul started doing that, and we did it again this last year.
No, we cry, but normally cold is unrelentless. It was a cheap moment until it penetrates.
We just figured if there's a little bit of insulation there, because then it's about the same as the thickness of the walls. I mean, the thickness of the house, the ranch house wall, like in the bathroom, is this thick. Literally, there's one panel that separates us from the outside, so the bathroom's always cold. But if we can protect that water heater a little bit better, then maybe that'll help. I don't know.
I mean, next year we're going to have to insulate the walls on that. Drill hole and blow insulation in that ranch house or something. There's no insulation in those walls, as I understand it. We're going to correct that problem.
Well, another possibility is once that water heater goes out, what's the tankless? I think that would be helpful too.
That's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
Like you're going to put in 7 and 8.
Yeah, that solves a lot of problems in maintenance and also in having to worry about freezing and whatever. So.
Yeah.
We need to look at that. So we're going to rely on you guys to kind of schedule that in and send us when we'd like to do some of that stuff. I would anticipate that the water heater or whatever we do there or any additional installation can be done probably after the season next year in the fall. But we'll leave it to you guys to figure out and tell us this is when we plan on doing it, so that'll be part of your schedule. If you tell us, we won't tell you when it needs to be done. Obviously, during the summer months, it's difficult.
Also, I don't remember the guy's name, but he does our roofing. Yeah, that's who it was. Still on the front porch area, there's still a panel of roofing missing that he didn't fix yet. Didn't replace.
Didn't he just call and say he was going to do that this weekend?
There seems to be a repair around the stovepipe. I don't know how that lined up with that. That's all he was scheduled to do.
Corner panel that needs.
Okay.
Down on that part of the roof, it's just still raw shingle. And then just for everybody's information only, is we went ahead and sunk a couple of post holes on the side of our path, so we can go cut the cedar post to build our roof over it. So that's going to happen.
To cover, put a roof over the new
shingle. We're going to put a permanent roof. We're not going to mess around with a tarp.
I think
we're going to do it later.
I don't like to do jobs twice.
Maybe they're old.
Maybe we'll just lay panels
every time. There's a couple in there, but
did Larry ever get back to anybody if I asked him a question? He's not here today.
He's not. His wife was feeling well. I thought he was going to join us by phone. Larry, are you on yet?
So by way of recap, we got water heater, porch insulation, roofing, front porch roofing on.
The roof they're talking about now is at the well over the barrier.
I have a question on that.
Okay.
How much roofing do you need there on that, Phil?
We have the roofing. We have all the material out there to present. We don't have to buy anything.
Okay. All right. I needed to know because I had a couple of pieces. So. All right.
Well, this is a little sheeting that Paul bought to... You do the blacksmith shop, I guess. Three sheeters real quick. And it's just sitting there. We might as well use it to sit there.
Well, there's more.
You got enough to do it. I have some old sheeting up there at the house that's my wife said she's using it. So I guess we got to eat it out.
That's all right. We'll get it. Any other questions from any members, board members, for the caretakers?
Going to need any more peacocks next year?
Nope. Do you have food and everything lined up to where animals are usually taken care of through the winter?
We're going to get that today. We're going to get it for what we need over the next couple of months.
We sold three saddles to get the money. We got $300, right? Got that deposit.
Yeah, you should have it in hand. I'll double check. I thought I just got goats.
Which is very good. The goat saddles.
Yeah, $300 from selling the goats would go into feed instead of going more from this budget.
Right. But the saddles, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a cashier check we gave you.
Oh, yeah.
Or a money order for $300 to be deposited. And the saddles, like I say, were not
so great. So what animals are we feeding then?
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to downsize the rabbits, but we're still trying to sell those.
Yeah, put the word out.
If you like meat rabbits, go ahead and buy
some. Meat rabbits, yeah.
Just bring us a 50-pound bag of chicken scratch and you can take your pick.
You have a Rex, and you have, what are the other two? I think they're just regular. I'm not sure the other.
We have a miniature lion head.
Yeah, but then we have three others that are just regular.
Just regular rabbits. So we're going to downsize those.
So besides the rabbits, what else do we got?
We got chickens.
And the sheep.
And goats. And a sheep.
Are you sure you got a lot of
them? How many ducks do
you have?
Eight. Well, we have seven now.
One guy.
Yeah.
And one was laying on eggs. Make little other little ducklings. So we could downsize our ducks if we wanted.
They don't fly away.
Yeah, they don't fly.
So, they like her.
But they're fun.
Just, well, you know, we want to strike a balance where it makes sense, both cost-wise, but having the animals available. So that, again, we'll be looking at that as
well. We downsize our goats all the way, and so all we have is the female. So that's what we're going to make our money off of is the baby. So if we can get a female out there, that'd be great. Otherwise, we'll just make money off of us.
Okay.
So, if you have.
All right. Any questions, John, for the caretakers or anyone else that's on the phone?
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay, Joe is here now, so let's go ahead and just for the record, we'll go around the room here and then on the phone and see who's here. I'm Barry Clarkson. I'm a member of the board, and I'm here.
Joe Bolgay, I'm treasurer.
Brad Hunt.
Phil Hunt.
John Harris. John Harris.
Rachel Hunt.
Tom and Carol Blair.
Thank you.
Bill Hall.
Kathy Pierce, Secretary. I'm Mariah Wheeler. I'm the Office Administrator.
Anybody besides John on this phone? I think Vance is on there. Anybody else?
I didn't hear their last name.
LeClaire.
Perfect. All right, we're going to back up on the agenda a little bit and turn the time over to Joe for his treasurer report, followed by Mariah with the office report. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, as far as the money in the bank, which is why we got something different in the caretaker's checking account. We got 1998. In the main checking account, we got $60,914. And in the savings, we've got $26,989. Went through the budget and open this stuff up and get temp on it. You know, I'm late because you caused the fall. So, I would leave at 7:30 to get here at 11 o'clock. And you changed it to 10 o'clock, and I left at 7:30.
I apologize. I thought you guys were coming up the night before. So.
I was going to, but my wife got stuff over that sick, and she's home, and didn't want to leave her too quickly, so I blew it. As far as going through the budget, everybody is in pretty good shape. The only thing that's really off that has to be adjusted is the petty zoo, which we all know about. We're over on that. And I don't know if you want to go through everything line by line or everything is, everybody else is within their budget. There's no problem. And the way I look at it, I got about $15,000 reserved for next year to transfer over unless you come up with something different.
Well, if you don't mind, if you break that down, not too much than what you have. Hopefully that will be the case.
Is that what this partially is?
Yes. So if... In your packet, and I like that, so I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to explain all this. The grade, right after your agenda, you'll find a profit and loss budget versus actual. This is at a glance. We took all of the categories down and just chunked them down so you could see which categories we are over budget on and which categories we are under budget on. So that's general informational. The second page you'll see is what Joe was referring to, the forecast for the end of the year. So the way to read this is, like Joe said, we have $60,900 that's applicable money in our main checking account. We estimate the following expense, the following incomes to come in. So probably maybe another $300 on Sabins. Another $12,000 we'll receive when Bud Hunt Cattle Company pays their contract. And maybe a few more dollars spent in the store, but nothing of real significance there. Then estimated expenses of things going out is listed below that. Those are the things that we're anticipating that we actually will spend of the money that's left. So that's about $36,000. To the right, you'll see a yellow column, categories with budget money remaining. These are the only categories left that have money in them, and those are the monies that are available in them to be used. So what that means is, which is right below that, if we take the estimated expenses and the 2018 budget money that hasn't been spent yet that may still be spent, that means we have about $57,000 left to spend this year. If we take what we have for cash on hand and subtract that, that leaves us with $3,500 at the end of the year. Now, pending we get all of the income in this year, on this year's budget, that would give us another $12,000 back. So the total we have, like Joe said, $16,900 at the end of the year. So a point of interest, last year, at the end of the year, we had $34,800 in the account, and we transferred $11,000 of that over to savings. So as you can see, we have accomplished a lot with the money that we have this year, but our ability to transfer over will be less. That's not just because of this year, of course. That's because last year we had caretakers part of the year, so we didn't have payroll. It's also because they did not spend as much money and the things that Alan and Fita did last year. There's a whole bunch of factors that go into that. But the whole point would be we want to keep $10,000 in the checking account at the end of the year as a minimum in case an emergency comes up. So that follows.
Is wildlife income... Have we collected that then?
Yeah, 12,400, I think.
Yeah, from the
farm. We haven't collected it.
Trust about the fees on money.
And we are missing a possible trespass fee. We'll have Larry Sticky be there. Or two, I don't know how many countries we have. So at the very bottom of that forecast, I talked with Joe and Barry. I'd like to propose to the board that all spending, including myself and caretakers and everybody on the board, be completed by December 15th. And the reason I would request that is it will make it a lot easier for me to track budgets. It'll put a deadline in our heads to say, this is it, no more money for the year after this point, which I think will also be helpful so that we don't spend over the year and try and bring in, spend money in 2019 that should have been spent this year. So if
does everybody understand what that means? That means you have to identify your budget, to spend whatever you're going to spend prior to December 15th. No money will be spent between December 15th to January 1st to give us a little bit of a margin to be able to clear out accounts and start the new year. Does that make sense?
Does that mean we're not carrying forward yet?
We will be carrying forward whatever, but it's, whatever we identify as of December 15th, it will be actually be identified after we're working on it. But whatever there is, as far as the overage and changes, that will be carried over. Now, as far as if you have leftover money in your budget, we're not going to carry that over anymore. So if I have, if you're in charge of water, and if you have a $3,500 budget, and you only spend $2,500 this year, you don't have $1,000, so you don't have, you know, an extra $1,000 going next year. It makes it way too hard to identify which year. If we're not trying to take money away from you. We're just trying to identify money is spent. The money that is spent is out of that same budget year, so we aren't crossing over fiscal years. Does that make sense?
Any clarification on the job I was assigned because I wasn't there when you say water?
Okay. Yes, in essence, yeah, we'll put you in charge of the water.
So what do you mean? So drinking water, irrigation,
water. And I'm still on the committee so I can help you with that because I've been doing it for the last year. It's just... sometimes it's very extra, and you're up there more often than I am, so I can talk to you after, right, for what I've been doing, and then obviously you do whatever you think is best in that area, and I'm here to help, and Vance and friends are integrally involved. in that in water testing and working on projects with the water tanks and those kind of things. It's mainly making decisions and trying to determine the best way to handle water. One of the projects we talked about and hope to accomplish this next year is the water hauling station being installed. And so when I put in numbers for the budget, I put in extra money to try to accomplish that. But we can talk.
Yeah, we have to certify that water pickup station.
Yes,
people to use.
All right. So
one thing on the water, the local member suggestion, Phil, I thought it was a good one, that we utilize some of the water that we have on the ranch and make a station, actually, like at the wells or the springs, where we're going to improve them anyway. We're trying to get funds to improve them to the agriculture livestock. If we improve them to the point where we can have drinking water, people can call, you know, they can go through a well and get drinking well water at one of the stations. One of the stores suggested is in Broad Hollow. The other one is supposedly a famous historic one that's the extenders up by the extender pit.
And Vance is well up on the requirements on doing some of that. I guess we should ask, are you willing to, I mean, we weren't there to accept, we just kind of nominated it. Obviously, if that's not something we want to do, then we can figure it out also. So.
Why don't we talk
afterwards? Because I'm probably showing something, but I realize here's a big problem. And we can go through that. By the way, I wanted to apologize to you. I think my email to you on the well came across differently than it was intended. As far as the motor, that kind of stuff, I did not intend to indicate that, hey, we still fell with a piece of junk here in Ohio.
I just wanted to see
what happened and what hasn't happened. And so it all ended up working out. But I didn't intend for it to come across as
I hope my response was that way.
It was fine, and I think we're in good shape. Anything else from the financial?
I have one. Well, it might be a CCC executive session, so I'm not here. No,
Can I just ask a couple questions, Bill?
Sure. is it important that we differentiate headquarters census from just regular census? Is that what you want to continue
well,
to do?
No, but this year we did because, unfortunately, Alan Anderson went in there and tore stuff out and threw it all away, so it was just a different expense. We just want to know what it was going to take to get that back up and running. Once that's done, we should be
so normal. Because I don't care if you want to keep it separate from headquarters and any other census, or
so we have to have a budget for it.
And I just wanted to know where we were with that situation because so much of it was taken out and disassembled, so I need to find out.
Once that's all fixed, the regular census should be regular. That should drop off.
And does the fish cost us $400 more?
Yeah.
They're the only fish running around.
Well, if you remember, Larry had said that he was meaning to get the fish in by Memorial Day. And they were headed out to go deliver fish somewhere else, and they could easily just pop over and get them. So he said, I know you've got more fish than we need. We'll pay for the extra. Can you just come drop them while you're out in the
fish? I think he bought bigger fish also.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have that option or not, I don't know.
But may I add on the fencing? I did not include the ranch house fencing in your budget this year. It's all been allocated to cabins and ranch house in our regular building fund. What I did put in your account, though, was the livestock grow expenses. So that is included in your budget.
So around the playground doesn't have to come out
of
my budget
anymore. No, that's none
of
that. None of the games, none of that. It's all
I don't care if it all comes out or not.
I think it makes more sense for, like Bill and you said, to have all that money allocated to headquarters because it's not going to change that much. But the corrals and all of that is changing. It is for the livestock. That, to me, makes sense.
I have a question also. So this $9,800 for the cabin expenses for the end of the year.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get stuff out there before snowfall so we can start that. Can I use some of that for that for the cabin?
I don't know.
Do I need to, I'm not really sure. Do I need to get everything approved in expenses with you guys? I'll go over that with
correct,
you guys.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the rule of thumb we've gone by is as long as the expense you're looking at is 20% or less of your budget, then you can call the shots and make the decision to spend money. You don't have to run it by everybody. If it exceeds 20% in any given purchase, then we need to send out an email and get approval to say, yeah, that's something we want to help. Did I say that correctly? Is that what everybody reminds us?
Yeah, we've got to send Phil with the charge when he doesn't want to be involved in the data.
You need to be able to make some decisions.
Yeah, without everybody having to go over every little thing.
We'll go over some of those expenses are above.
Any other questions for Joe on finances?
My total budget last month, I still had money left. I didn't spend any, and now I don't have any. So I can go through everything to see where it's all gone. But we have some things that we need to clean up. I mean, we're like $400 over right now, but I still thought I had like $1,000 in there or something to finish the class, whatever they need for stuff. So do we just spend that and go over my budget, or do we want to add to that budget now?
So just to answer and put your credit rest on why that money was there and now it's not there. So I felt like it was confusing on those P&Ls because you would see where your category is, but it didn't take into consideration some of the other things that were in other places. So I went through before I made this report and changed those and brought them over to your budget so that you can see it and know that that's where that is. That's why that money went away. Because it was already spent over in the other category, but it just wasn't under livestock. Does that make sense? So as far as going forward, I understand if there's money still to be spent somewhere out of a different category. For example, we have summer help that I don't think we're going to hire summer help for, and we have some money. This is probably, I think, the first show on that.
Yes, I agree. You know, the summer help is not used, so there's plenty there. You can crunch it over if you absolutely like to have it, so I don't see a problem.
It's going to be minimal, whatever it is, but it's going to be some that they're going to need to clean up for the rest of the year, the rest of the hay for the town. We didn't mention that it's longhorn for the petting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That longhorn.
I'm not sure they have enough hay for them for a month. You won't eat much. It'll be a huge addition.
I have one question, and maybe you can talk about this after, but did the Pengu budget get increased for next year?
I believe it did. Yeah, well, that's important.
Okay, we were cooking, so we missed all of that.
I don't remember the exact amount, but yeah, we...
So we'll be sitting better for next year, right? Okay, I just want to make sure.
We should be better for next year. We had some to the buy better from your dad. Plus, you should have some income coming. Whereas this year, we spent money to buy stuff. You should have some money coming back in from the petting zoo or from selling animals.
That's exactly why we didn't want to sell everything and then rebuy everything. So we just kept the females. So.
Okay.
Question on the water resources. I don't have an extra question here. So did we keep, what is the budget for water resources?
If I remember correctly, $5,000 for one resource.
We can double check. 300.
So we had a budget of 12.5 last year, but 5,000.
12,500?
What was the budget last year? This year?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Would a solar pump...
I thought the budget last year for legal and water together was $3,000.
Total water resources.
Yeah, it says that.
$12,515. So I have less to spend, $7,900.
So legal, we ended up doing... What are you at?
We were low on legal.
We still made that budget okay, right?
I thought
what was water last year and what was water this year?
I'll have to look water up this year, but water last year is, as Phil says, let me look at
this year. I don't think, even though we painted the tank, I don't think he went over.
Well, we didn't go over it.
I think the question is what does Phil have left to spend this year? I have $7,900, but what is my budget going to be next year?
I'll look that up. Give me just a minute.
I don't know whether or not the question is spend this now or next year.
Your budget for next year, I would guess, is repeat what it was last year. Still verify that right now.
So when we cross over, like if we put in, install a solar pump for that well, the Athman Reservoir,
would that be part of water expenses? Or would you help them out of agriculture livestock?
You would have to get over here and decide depends where the water's going to go.
And if you're gonna if you're putting in the well water improvement, depends on what's used there, so I would assume they cooperate there to figure it out.
So that's something we need.
Yeah, currently the water budget now should be for cabbage, so
because that would be water you have to do
so far.
Not the water.
But I'm not saying that can't be changed.
We need to finalize the budget to see if we're still over.
While she's looking, go ahead.
The dump trap got damaged a little bit. Just the wood that holds extended up. One's completely gone, the other one's about to half off. So just to let Joe know that we need to replace the wood. But Brent said instead of replacing the wood, let's just take some metal. He found some metal out of the boneyard that we could actually weld. Ended up so whenever we talked that again. And Joe said, or John said, that he said that the wood is there for a purpose in order to break. I don't know. I know nothing to understand. You know the little on top of the
walls on top of their wood.
The little rocks in the wood
break.
Brent wants to make those metal and permanent instead of
I don't know. I think they should be removed and it should be used for the capacity which it has.
Okay.
When I was in Vietnam, I was in charge of maintenance. We had dump trucks and the company commander made me put 12-inch extensions on both sides of the dump truck.
Yeah.
When they filled them up with dirt, it wouldn't, the hydraulic wasn't strong enough to lift it. So you should use the truck as it's originally designed. I mean, we can leave it up there so it can't spill over, but we shouldn't fill it up past that point, is what I'm getting at.
Okay. Take some
pictures of it and bring it back.
The wood reminds you of one you'd be aware of.
Yeah. I'm not in favor of making a model.
Film where you got them.
Okay.
The water budget for 2019 would be $8,825 currently, unless we make some money or whatever. Maybe we might make some
money. I'll need to really know if water, that budget is cabin water, drinking water, or...
I can break it down for you. So cabin water, we have $5,000 for next year. The water storage tanks, we currently have $2,000 set aside for. Testing fees have gone up, so we have increased that budget to $800. For your attachments and diversions, we're looking at $4,000. The $4,000 or the $800?
The $4,000, but what's it for?
Was for the attachments and diversions. And then finally, for any potential water training expenses, we have $500 out.
Well, I sure hope I don't have to go through that again. I do have to do the seminars. I do have to do this year. Starting January 1st, I do have to have my certification hours, you know, each year. So I need to find out how many hours I need to have when I need to attend seminars or I need to do the web seminars, whatever I need to do. Yeah.
We need to look into that so that you can do whatever you need to do prior to Memorial Day or after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't seem like I have any.
There's some up north. I can go to any of the seminars.
For which?
Wherever I need to go. Doesn't matter where.
Half Moon.
Oh, the Half Moon.
Okay, we'll discuss that a little bit, and Mike can probably help you to understand what's been spent out of there in the past. I mean, we've spent a lot of money this year on things that we don't have to do regularly. Last year we spent it on tank cleaning. It's not a repeat every year. This year we did the tank painting and that kind of stuff, which is not an every year thing, although we still need to put them in on it, and it hasn't been reburied.
Well, it's been reburied on the one side.
It's the one side buried on, yeah, because the backhoe can be used.
So there's some things that have been done in the past.
What about the weather and the cold?
We need Larry's help.
What about the, you're worried about
cold weather there. Now? We don't have one side of the tank covered.
We had it in the freeze. It didn't freeze before, so.
So it's covered,
No, it was only covered.
It was only covered up to about 25% of the tank. Yeah. Most of it's been exposed forever.
As long as we keep it full, I don't think it'll freeze. So keep it, you know,
close the pool as you can, and we should get to the winter okay.
All right.
Well, it's not painted it white. It's not there.
Yeah.
All right, Maya.
Oh, okay. So, office report. So, cabin reservations, just a simple fact that Rachel and Phil have already talked about those. Cabin 7 and 8 and Garden Cabin are going to be open through Thanksgiving weekend this year so far. And they are booked through Thanksgiving. All three are booked through Thanksgiving weekend. So that's fun to have some numbers coming out for that. On the financial report, assessments continue to remain the same. We still have 96% of our lots are current on their assessments. I, at this time, do not anticipate receiving any more assessments for this year. Usually, by this point, if they haven't paid, it's going to go over the years. So we will probably remain 96% by the time we get to January. I explained the budget report that I attached to your agenda. And then new members, we have one new member joining Deer Springs Ranch. His name is Kurt Jacobson. He's on lot 90. And so far, new members for 2018 are 16. Then the last item of business is the newsletter. I'm going to do my Christmas mailing with the assessments goes out the first part of December. So if we are going to pull together a newsletter, we need to do that in the next week to week and a half. So I have time to get everything to the printers and have it prepared and ready to go out in December. So I love the idea of the neighborhood articles. I think that's
fantastic. You have the pictures?
No, those are perfect. And so Vance usually puts it all together. Vance, you're welcome to chime in if you have any suggestions. Vance puts it together for us. We send him all the information. He has a template. It's beautiful. It works out beautifully. And then he sends me the final draft after he sends it around to gather any other information. So as far as I'm aware, anyone is welcome to put an article in. Caretakers could put one in about whatever. Usually we try to keep it as minimal as possible, just for the expense of printing. It usually is sent out in color and on a little bit nicer paper. So if you can keep your articles short, maybe double-sided piece of paper would be great for a new
one. What's the deadline?
Let's set it for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving to deadline.
That, let's say that. Yes, that'll give me a week to get printing done following Thanksgiving.
We want to try to put something else.
Yeah, that would be great. Maybe even on the Facebook page, about Facebook.
Okay. Any other comments on the newsletter? Is that all you've got? All right, moving right along. We have taken care of the caretaker report. Let's shift this out. Number 7 on the agenda is discussion of CCNRs. I sent out a revised version a couple of days ago by email. I did not print off a new copy because I didn't tell anybody. Bottom line is, I would like to continue to send it out to the members for comment and got it back. I was pretty resistant to make changes because we had already sent it out and gotten feedback and I didn't want to have a moving target. Kind of starting over. So if you look at those CCNRs, and if you have suggested changes, now is the time to make them or suggest them or ask for them. If anybody has had a chance to look at them before today and wants to discuss those, now is a good time to do so. But anticipating that you need probably some time, I would like to get those comments in from the board and any suggested changes so that we can discuss them possibly in our January board meeting. And again, unless, once we get it, now that we're starting over, suggested changes are welcome, then we're going to have to send it to the membership again and then get their feedback, and it's hard to make changes at that point. So, anybody have any comments?
Now, I'm new, everybody's gone through with last year, so I wasn't really sure. How come they are totally dissolving the old CCNRs?
Because they are... What bill is
right. Okay, is there a way that we have those to be
there? It's like trying to convert a zebra into a belt. The easiest. By the time, if we were to amend the existing, by the time you're done amending, now keep in mind the original CCNR, to the extent that we could, they are inserted into the new one. They were so sparse. you can hardly see them in where they are. But, you know, who the expert is and the voting requirements, all those kind of things are the same in the new ones as they were in the old. But the old ones have 10 paragraphs, and they don't address a lot of things that need to be addressed, in my opinion. So there's really no way to simply, quote-unquote, amend and add to. You just have to say, okay, this is general. Forgive me for whoever wrote them in the first place, but a long time ago, rules have changed. The statute requires certain things, so it's really a replacement. Is that fair to say? Mm-hmm. That answer your question?
Okay. I just have had a lot of calls with people that have got some concerns, and so I just wanted to
read through carefully and bring all the concerns
to
it.
I think that the key is at this stage, again, starting over, is to say, okay, what's your concern, and what do you propose, what language you propose to fix it? Because if you say, oh, I don't like, that doesn't really help
anything. Yeah.
If you say, I don't like this, here's a proposal, then we can vote on it, we can talk about it, and work and decide how we want to go. Does that make sense? Phil, do you have any comments that you want to raise today?
John, I thought you wanted to bring up Phil, or you want to...
I haven't talked to anybody about this before it was voted on.
Uh-huh.
And about 10 or 12 people called me and said, what's going on? What's your opinion? And asked a few questions. And the biggest concern is what Brent said, that section
13-10.
13,
now
which is gone. Which is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a big one.
13-10.
Okay.
And many people asked me that one. The biggest concern was is the word declarant game in the document all over the place.
Yeah.
And the one that you just sent the other day, I read it all over again. I highlighted where it said declarant. It's got to be in there. And the one that got me was on page 2, it says, shall endure to the benefit of every portion of the property. Then it says, may be enforced by the declarant. I don't understand what that really means. What kind of enforcement does a declarant have? Well, the declarant is listed as caution and benefit. They don't have any enforcement of the document.
We've talked about this several times, and I can explain to you why it doesn't matter, but would it address a lot of people's concerns if we eliminated the identification of the declarant in this document?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I mean, you explained it, I understand
it.
I think the emotional...
I can look at that.
I think we can probably
do it, because at the end of the day, Clarkson Investments owns parcels, owns lots, so they can enforce it anyway, whether they're a declarant or as a property owner, it doesn't make any difference. I accepted them there because it's typically part of the history and the identification of who did what, and the declarant is a part of CCNR. But if that's causing everybody to go head over heels nutso, if they want it out, then I can work at removing that. And at least from the body of, we'll still have to keep it in the preamble where it talks about the original was filed by the declarant, they are the declarant, blah, blah, blah. But if it's causing a great deal of heartburn over saying that the declarant can enforce the CCNR, when he can anyway as a lot owner, and once you're not a lot owner anymore, then he's not a declarant, it doesn't matter. So if that's a key, then I can look at taking that out. I don't have a problem with that.
I think that's the whole thing is, you know, he's a lot owner, so he's still going to have as much say as the rest of us lot owners, but why specify more power?
And the reason why it was left in there, and part of it was because we have to have this focus.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give him any more power or any less power than any other lot owner, but it ensures 50 or 70 or whatever number.
It is very common to, after so many years of when they rewrite that, they remove the declarant, isn't it?
Well, you still, even I've redone lots and amended them, you still have to identify who the declarant is. If we want to eliminate it from the body of the text, I promise we'd make that happen without a big deal. Is there anything else besides?
There was that one little word that
I have a feeling for when he's, you know, about maybe legally is the word in newer, which is sometimes looked at as an enforcement of some negative thing, and or a continuation of things. So why not just say, shall continue?
Because there's a legal term called adverse to the benefit, and what you use that word when you mean to say that these are binding upon successors and moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's in every piece of murder.
The binding quality of that word.
Can I change that word? I'd have to look at statutory case law to verify, because again, when you buy a lot, or these rules and regulations, they have to inure to the benefit of meaning they pass along to the new owners and so on and so forth, but it possibly could be invalid. If you'd like for me to do, I can do the research.
That's not a big one. I'm just going to ask a question.
I looked up the word inure in the dictionary, and I didn't like it.
I don't know what the dictionary says about it, but if anybody can find a set of CCNRs in the United States that doesn't have the word inure in it, I'll give you $10.
Hey, another question. Rule 23, talking about membership, each owner shall be a member of the association.
Right.
Of course, we all know that there are some lots that are not part of the association. How are you going to enforce that, and are you going to take actions to enforce that?
Well, we can't. These were originally recorded. They were recorded after the subdivision plat was there, and they were not recorded against certain laws. So we as an association have the ability to make those lot owners become members, or vice versa. I think if we have a decent set of rules, we can invite them. But unless they agree, then these CCNRs have nothing to do with them.
Say they decide to sell, they can't come in and force the membership on that lot to the new owner.
It's the same thing as the other subdivision out there next door.
It's
the same thing as Juniper Hill. They're next door, they own a piece of property. Those lots that don't have a membership currently, they can elect in if they want, but if they don't, then they're just like Juniper Hill, they don't belong to the association, they don't get any benefits, nor do they have any obligation to the association. And as an association, there's nothing we can do about it.
So just out of curiosity, if you buy in Juniper Hills and you
want to
be a primary
Springs,
then you can
opt in
and then you pay the
$8. If you amend the plat and you get approval of all the members of your Springs. In other words, no. No. Legally it's possible, but practically it's not. I had a guy call me this week looking at buying a piece of property that's next to lot 17, I think, anyway. It's not on the ranch. And he said, well, can I join the ranch? I said, you can if you want to jump a hoop and spend $100,000 and hope that people vote for it. But another one.
Wouldn't it be, I don't know, just so I know how to respond back to other people, wouldn't it be a benefit because you'd be getting their money? You'd be getting their HOA fees.
The two ways have to maintain their roads. And stuff. So if anybody asks, just say, no, sorry, that's a separate subdivision.
Okay. We've had people ask.
Or just...
Okay. Will you first do me a favor and kind of specify a little bit about this?
Is that a pronoun?
I'll bring highlights to you because you'd probably be able to explain it a lot better. And it's just talking jurisdiction of the association. And I just so I understand it better,
So the association has the duty and the legal ability to manage the common area as well as enforce the CCNR estimate different lots. This is just saying they have the authority to do that based on the reported CCNR and the association.
It also says sale of property, selling of lots, so they can sell the association lots.
On the second paragraph,
mm-hmm.
I added that. The reason that's there is so that Deer Springs Ranch right now owns three lots. Four lots.
Uh-huh.
Number six. So we discussed in what I think is best and what I think everybody, you know, you have your rest. in Tier 3. There are four lots. There's nothing we can do with them. We're just looking at them. They were subdivided as lots. They exist as lots. There's no reason why the association can't. Or if the association ever forecloses on somebody that doesn't pay their dues, we'll obtain another lot. The association needs to have the ability to sell the lot. Because otherwise, then we're paying property taxes on them. They're sitting there and they're doing no business. If the board votes to, obviously.
And if the members want to. A lot of those lots, I think that they were put there, left to the Commonwealth because they're kind of key lots. And so we should assess the benefit of the lot. And if it's more beneficial for us to sell the lot, and everybody's in agreement.
That the paragraph you're asking about basically gives the association, which is vested in the board, the ability to say, you know what, we want to build a pavilion, so we're going to sell one of those lots.
I guess my question was, of course, underground lot one, which is an association lot, and that was something that was brought up several times when Val was alive. He wanted to buy that. He said no. And anyway, there was a problem there, but we, as other lot owners over there, like to have a common area that we can maybe go and play, you know, on the 24th of July, we've gone over there and played, you know, softball and that kind of thing. And so, you know, that's what I was just inquiring, if that's, you know.
Well, in reality, the association, there's two ways to look at it. That provides two things. The association can sell association property. They own it. The corporation owns it and can sell it. It's just whether it's in the ordinary course of business or whether it's outside the ordinary course of business. That's the distinction of the statute. In the ordinary course of business, the board of directors can decide whether to sell or not. And this basically says that the already subdivided lots would be up to the board of directors to decide whether they sold. Outside the ordinary course of business, you have to not only get the board of directors approval, but the membership approval.
Well, that would be...
I don't know that you'd have to have everyone, but you'd have to have a majority.
In the old ones, I think it was like everyone. And we had a legal opinion from that it would take.
But based on the new statute, I don't think it does, but I haven't done the research.
So the question is, if
we feel strongly that nothing, including those existing lots, should be sold without every member voting, then we need to change this. This is, I intended to open the door to allow the board to make more decisions as to those lots that have already been subdivided. It sure sounds like some of you have a concern about that.
So if I was not on the board and I didn't have any interest in Johnny Brown, it wouldn't be a big deal for me as a board of directors to make that decision. I think there should be more people involved here within that area that it would affect. And that's kind of way. I don't know if that's something
maybe,
that you can share.
Lot one is over there in Johnny Brown. 74 and 75 is a proper site where you can right where you turn up to hit that trailhead, the old little cabin in that tank. So right there where that little pond is, 74 and 75. If maybe something about the local area, lot on the,
I don't even think local, I think everybody
could open it up for, if we're going to do it, then have them open it up to be able to.
Well, anybody could use it. Anybody could use it. But, Johnny Brown, we're not over there playing baseball right
now. No, I guess I'm not understood what you were saying.
So approval to sale would be up to the board and the majority of the owners in Johnny Brown to sell a lot more.
Yeah,
where you're incorrect. And those in Broad Hollow would have to be involved in the decision as to those two lots. I don't know what the other one is.
Yeah, but for me, if I being an owner, it would make a difference because I think parks and investments own the majority of the lots in our area. That's how you outvoted.
Well, I think the key in these CCNR is try to make it feasible. Again, I look at it one way, and my point of view is certainly not the only one. What I would suggest is if either of you or Kathy, if you want to put together just an email to me or share with the board that says, I would suggest we change this to restrict the sale of this, then we can all share it and discuss it. Obviously, we're not going to make a decision today, but if that's a concern, then let's address it.
I mean, the way we give this ability to do something with them, or that he has rights in the past, so we don't know all of them. But otherwise, it is just cumbersome. We felt in the past, you can't do
anything. Yeah, as of right now, can't really do anything with those lots, which means they might as well not be lots. They might as well just be part of the common area. And some people are in favor of expanding the common area. Some people, one in particular, is in favor of shrinking the common area. We need to decide what we want to do as a group. And I'm happy to try to address that in a way that either makes it work for everybody or, you know, ultimately, if that's a sticking point, then we stick with what we have. So.
Well, in my two cents, I'm not against selling association lots. In the past, I got into it, and it had to be 100% close that I was against. I would like to see that state. We can sell association land, but it should be put to a vote for all the members, and I would just think 51% would be sufficient. It doesn't have to be a majority.
I don't think it's something like that.
You know, maybe a first right refusal to the local.
We can definitely say that those lots can be sold, but it requires a 2/3 or 51% or a 99%.
I mean, whatever we want. There'd have to be a large majority.
Would you be comfortable with that if we put it to the
membership? Well, 50%. Dale's going to be that. So I, that's why. And it's not I'm trying to target Dale at all. I'm just saying that.
He's at this point a lot less than 50%. He's like,
well, it's 10%. Let's make it 50%. That's not a high majority.
That's still fairly high.
Yeah. To get 66% to pass the bylaw required pulling teeth. Getting 51% to respond is a big task. But I'll do whatever you want to do. If you'll propose kind of that, then I'll address.
There was something mentioned last year about a refusal to ordering owners or local owners. Yeah. That be raised in.
I think
yeah, now that we're starting over, then there's nothing been sent out. If you say that we want to sell it as subject to 51% vote of the membership, and interested members can have a right of first refusal, it's difficult. Only legally we can put it in there. The question is, if 10 people want to buy it, let's buy it.
Well, for all of Johnny Brown, Ranch wants to sell it. We need money for a project.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Brown really wants that to put data on. So, first right of refusal, not the individuals, but to that group.
Just remind me of that, and I'll work up some language. We'll review it and tweak it and see if it helps us get this passed. So,
I'm not against being able to open this up so we can sell property, so we can do some things. But every one of us are owners. And so, if I own something and you guys decided to sell it and I didn't even know, you sold part of your property and now it's gone, I might have agreed with it, I might not. I just think that everybody's part of what you write up should be a notification. We just email all lot owners and say, hey, supposing that we sell lot A for...
I think the letter...
And use the funds to build a bundle.
Well, and then we have a 30-day period of time where you can send responses and then make a decision.
So include whatever you want there, and then I'll work on it, send it out, we'll tweak it. I think that people should kind of pay attention to what happens in the meetings, and if we decided to sell a lot, it would be discussed. We'd have to have a motion and approval here. Yes, if you never pay any attention to what happens in the board meetings, you would not have notice, but if you want to send out a letter or an email, I'm not opposed to that.
Because, like, the Johnny Brown people might want to do something.
Yeah.
And they might not take the decision to be. People here before, you haven't been able to sell their property, common property, in a board meeting. So it might cause people to pay attention to the meeting.
I'll look forward to that. Anything else, just real quick, on the CCNRs that you'd like me to tweak and send out between now and our next meeting?
You know, I got a couple of issues.
I know what your issues are. I wish I could solve them.
And I'm going to work on that between now and January.
Yeah. Talk to the president.
Whatever.
Department.
I don't think we as board should be able to determine how many people sit the board. I think that should be an initial vote. I'm not a board vote that determines how we govern our
change. That actually belongs in the bylaws.
Have more than a finite amount? I guess you didn't understand what you said. More than seven?
He's saying, well, it used to be five with the seven, with the five went back to seven.
He's just saying that that could be a decision of the members, not of the board.
But we don't determine how many people
this change fit here with governing yourself.
You might want honey.
Oh, yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, we like that.
Okay. Anything else, Joe?
Nerve?
I have seen your headlines all over.
Well, I was just trying to remember where the spots were.
I didn't understand this sentence.
And the cleric shall be held harmless against causes of damage. If he changes something on his property, somebody does. Let's say Kathy digs a ditch and it causes water to go down and damages your lot. Does that mean that she's not responsible? I always thought she was. Maybe I'm reading it wrong.
You're reading it wrong. It says declarant shall be held harmless from and against any other causes of action related to an alteration of the historic
building. She puts a ditch in her lot that ruins mine, I can sue her.
Yeah.
I'm a pill, so anybody,
that's going to
happen.
Right?
Anybody, anybody changes the historic drainage and it causes problems, that's basically all. So.
Now what if there is, there's a map, and I speak of Jordan Brown for that point, that part. I've got a lot over there for sale, 18, and I've brought this up before, but it was tried to address it, and we haven't gotten anywhere. There was a road that went through a lot to get to lot 18. They put a gate up and locked it. So getting to lot 18 is you have to go clear around over BLM and back through again, which is probably another mile and a half, 2 miles direction to get to that lot. And we need to figure an approach to get that taken care of.
Well, I respectfully disagree. The association doesn't have to do that. The lot owners need to figure it out amongst themselves. They have legal rights.
So
the association, in my opinion, should not get involved in disagreements between owners and members as to their access or their non-access.
Do I understand this to be a ranch road that they fucked up?
Well, it's off of Johnny Brown Parkway.
I think it was an original plat.
It was a plat and it shows the road in there. And we used to take that road to get
it's
up to.
It's an original ranch road. I think that. Oh.
And that should be used.
Yep.
Well, and whoever's being blocked off has every right to go in and say, cut the lock off, and then say, no, I have a prescriptive easement, or I have a granted easement, or it's on the plat. They have every ability to enforce that. But we as an association should not get into
the law. Well, it just says here that everybody should have access to the law.
All right.
That's why I'm asking, because it is on the CC.
So they can get access.
And the CC norms, again, are enforceable by each lot owner against each lot owner. So if it was something affecting the use of common areas, or like somebody blocked off Meadow Canyon Road, we're all over that. But if it's related to one lot against the other, they're both members. We're better off not getting involved or taking sides and saying, you guys will figure it out, knock yourself out. So, you probably disagree with that. But I spend a lot of time in courts dealing with kind of issues, and it's expensive, and I don't think, want to take on the liability of getting involved there and paying for it. I could be wrong, you guys just want to. Yeah, if you get started fixing problems for people, and that sounds bad, I'll take the blame for sounding bad, but
you're a lawyer,
you don't want to get involved in it. Okay. Anything else on CPR?
Go ahead. That's just one. I'm assuming that 13-6 is referring to notifying somebody. Email vote on a board. In the past, he said that we couldn't vote on a motion by email unless it's 100%. That is what it's talking about there, is it? The board vote, the board motion, we couldn't use email unless it's 100%.
Yeah,
that's if somebody obtained and have to go to the next board meeting. That stays the same on the same.
No, this is saying if you have to give notice to anybody,
you can
give notice electronically, which I disagree with, so I would actually pick that off.
Oh, sorry, it's in there. It's a good call.
I think if it relates to
13-6.
I think if it relates to somebody's property rights, they're entitled to give a letter to the address listed at the county recorder's office. Too many people miss emails and texts. When it's voting on election directors and those kind of things, I don't have a problem with electronic notice. But when it affects my lot, my ownership, and my rights, then I think I ought to at least get a written notice.
Yeah, that was my concern, and the reason that's my concern is people text me all the time. Trust me, that doesn't receive texts.
I think 13-6 needs to be changed, so would you note that in your suggested changes, Kathy?
Okay.
Okay. Alright, maybe a bit quicker, but
sorry.
Between now and next meeting, I think it's going to be in January, we'll obviously discuss it at the end of this meeting. Review those, tell me what's wrong or what your concerns are or what people are telling you their concerns are, but also tell me this is how I think you can fix it. Then we can hammer those things through, discuss them, and decide what we want to do as a board. Does that make sense? Alright. Next is Dale and Patsy Ranch Improvement Plan. Maya, you sent an email. Did you share that, or do you hesitate to share that?
I did not hesitate to share it, and I did bring a copy of it.
Okay, I did too, but I didn't know if that was discussion in the executive or...
I would need your wisdom. But
what I'd like to do on this and what I anticipated is first discussing four or five things that we think we would like to apply for or use this money for. Number two, appoint somebody to interact with Steve Browning, who appears to be in charge of this, and see what money we can access for what projects. Does that make sense to everybody? So right now, I'd like to take a few minutes and just take suggestions as to projects or items that we would like to access and use this money for. And just for full disclosure, I haven't had any discussions on this fund either before it was proposed or after it was proposed. I'm not making excuses, it was just as much a surprise to me as anything else. I have no inside knowledge as to what it is or isn't intended to be. When we do determine which person from the board is going to interact with Steve or my dad on money, I would prefer not to be that person. Other than that, I think we need to address what we would like to apply for, where it would be best used, and vote on those and come up with two or three, and then see how it goes. I have it's structured in a way that it appears they're going to continue to maintain a string attached, if you will, and so it's going to be a matter of applying and improving, and I'm hoping we can access the money, but I've lived long enough to know that it's not going to be as simple as saying we decided we're spending it on this, write the check. With that being said, Kathy, I know you have an agenda on this or item that you'd like to discuss with or propose.
I did send Dale a letter when I read the one and told them that I felt like the overall benefit, it needed to benefit everybody, whatever. And I felt like the cabins were a big one. And asked that he match whatever we decide. Right now it's 10. I'm going to ask for more in my little session, but we'll get there. And so that's a situation. I volunteered to help out there, but I don't know. I don't want any ill feeling with Dale, but you know, when you donate money, I understand you probably want to be involved in it, but the self strings attached, that makes me a little concerned too.
No concern at all. I just want to say anybody who these guys who showed up yesterday and worked, they knew exactly what they were donating and where it was going to. And I think almost to a man, everybody who donated here some kind of monetary value or labor or anything, we all understood exactly where our labor was going, our money was going. If they said, hey, we need a washer, you donate $100, yeah, I'll donate $100. That's to a washer.
I knew it. It's my money. And it, all he's asking is the same thing on a lot bigger scale. He just says, I got $50,000 I want to donate to the ranch. But I want him, I want it, you know, I don't want it to be in the, I don't know, Phil Hall Vegas fund.
And I agree. I know that sometimes this can be a little bit difficult. I've dealt with experience before. I know the intention. I will tell you that the intention is good, but it's not a donation of here's money, knock yourself out. And we have to be careful because, as I think everybody here can attest, they can be offended. We can be offended. We need to look at it from business eyes and say, okay, what do we need to do to meet the qualifications for this scholarship, if you will, and then get the money if we can, and use it for, I agree, for common purposes, not to go in the direct budget, but they're asking us to make proposals, and I think we do it. So,
I have a proposal. I think cabins is good and needed, but they are not used by the membership. I think a need that's used by the entire membership is communication. I mean, you're picking towers, trees, where we have cell phone service on ranch. That would affect every month.
Approximately $60,000 to tap into that.
Well, I didn't see that.
Several people
that have that right. That's one way to that. But maybe if they go 50 and we go 10, we still can do it. That, but I'm not saying that's the way to do it.
There's a lot of ways.
It might be through the air.
And overall purpose.
Okay. But for me, communications would affect everything. So for emergency needs, people that their lives are just tied to, be able to take care of business when they're having fun, you know, on their property. Whereas the cabins, yeah, we could certainly spend it, but maybe 30% of the membership, 25% of the membership uses the cabins, you know.
There's a proposal.
Okay. Got anything else?
A pavilion.
Everybody's asking about the pavilion.
It's more than $60,000 to pass it around. It's $60,000 for the opportunity to pass in the line. And if on the ranch expense, to go from that line to ranch to 3 or 5 miles.
So pavilion, and I would put pavilion slash RV pass. Or RV, you know, different things, but. As long as we're putting in a septic system for a pavilion, we ought to make a big enough
system. We're talking about putting it together, right?
Yes.
So we can dump on the party.
What do you think, Joe?
I'm in favor of Metal Canyon Road being upgraded considerably. It's pretty
big. Metal Canyon
Road. Not paved, it's just gravel. I got a question, though, that it is the $50,000, is it? Do we have to match stuff, or is it general?
Not anything that I've seen. I mean, you've read the same thing that I have.
Well, yeah,
it doesn't say anything about matching.
Just a lot asked.
Yeah.
There was something in there that they would consider matching, and that's why I decided.
Well, I think it looks better if they're matching our funds. Mm-hmm. We put our money where our mouth, but I,
not that
we're going to apply, and we're going to see what happens. And I would. I wouldn't go beyond that. John, are you on it?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What do you have any suggestion as to what we might use this this donation, if you call it that, from my parent?
Well, I had actually mentioned it to Dale, and I'd thought of a pavilion would benefit. Something that he's been wanting and talking about for ever since I've been at the ranch is a pavilion. And I thought, well, that would be something that would be benefit everybody and also when we have our meetings like this, it'd be a good place to meet. But that would be something that could be used, I think. And when I mentioned it to him, he he smiled and I said, well, could he put on yours and Patsy's name on the thing? He said, well, I don't need any recognition of it. But he didn't say no to it. He just put on a big smile. And somebody there mentioned Meadow Canyon. I think that was Joel. Yeah, that would be nice. But I don't know that that would benefit everybody. But he did say that he didn't want to do anything for regular maintenance on it. And that's the reason I went with the pavilion idea. And so that's where my mind was.
Okay, thanks, John.
Well, I have a question about the donation. Has anybody asked Dale what he would want the money to go to?
Yeah, I did.
I can tell you that asking him what he wants the money to go to is a waste of time.
Amen.
The reason being is that he wants us to, from what I gather, and I've been through this a time or two in my life, he wants us to do some thinking and put the details together and make a proposal to them. And so if we just ask them what do you want to spend it on, their answer is probably going to be, if we had something specific in mind, we would have said so when we offered the donation. So I don't think that meeting with them and asking them what they would like to see will be helpful. I think we need to go with them to them with some proposals and say, would this meet your qualifications? Would this work? Then waiting and having them tell us yes or no. That's why I think there's...
You have something that you think it would be good for?
I like the pavilion issue. I would really like to see a pavilion. I'd like to see it down by ranch headquarters where it can be accessible and usable for annual meetings and for picnics and family reunions. So if I were, but I also see a great need, and I don't use the cabins, but I see a great need with the cabins. They need to be updated. It seems like we're always spending money to fix stuff that's caving in rather than keeping ahead of it. Roads, I'm telling you my votes on all these, I guess. Roads, I can see some improvement, but they tend to be, you know, you improve a road this year, and if we don't maintain it properly, then 2 years it looks the same way it did, so I'm not a huge, I'm not a huge fan of the road. Communications, I honestly never thought about until you brought it up today.
Communications is a good one, the pavilion is a good one. The pavilion is located on the place where I agree. It's not the right spot, and I'm not in favor of it.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the headquarters road. I mean, I
think,
yeah, put it in lot one or put it in lot
74.
Well,
let's
most of the larger gatherings happen.
I do. Now, it's already accessible to water. Mm-hmm. It's already accessible to a qualified water system. There is available headquarters, and it makes more sense if we're going to use it as an RV, you know, connect to it with RV and stuff. So that's my thought. I know that Keith has in the past really wanted to do something on the very north end of the ranch. That would be fantastic, but I don't think it's as practical, and I don't think it's as useful, and we'd have to come up with a water system to serve it and anything else. So that's
comment. I'm agree with Barry on the roads. You know, that's a yearly thing, and that's not permanent. And I think it ought to go to something permanent. And I remember when I first went with Dale, when I was looking at property, we were driving around, and he mentioned pavilion to me at that time. You know, he said, "Don't you think a pavilion would really be great here?" And well, it happened where he showed me is on one of his lots up on my end of the ranch, but it's up on a high lot up kind of west of where his cabin is. But he's mentioned that cat pavilion before, and now I'm in favor of doing the pavilion down at the ranch house. I'm not in favor of doing it up at the north end up there by the Ponderosas. It would probably cost a lot for anyway, but I'm not in favor of that. But around the ranch house, And as I say, when I mentioned it to him, it put a smile on his face. He didn't say yay or nay, but I read it. And that's why I suggest it.
Well, how these things normally work in my family is I think, for example, pavilion, in order to have some of the success, then one of us, probably me, we need to put together kind of at least a rough structured plan and some ideas of what it would cost and who we would use and what it would look like. And I'm happy to, but I will do it for the pavilion. Then, that way we're proposing something that has some concrete details for it. I would suggest that Kathy put together some ideas, specific ideas of here's some things that we need to do at the cabin, and here's roughly what the cost would be, and here's so we could do the work. And then on communications, I don't know, Vance, if you, I assume you're still on, so let me know if you're not.
I'm here. Go ahead.
Vance, if you could put together some ideas on communication, you know, there's the fiber optic line, but that's not the only option. If you could look at any ways we could improve communications at the ranch, including putting up a satellite tower, or cell tower, I don't know how that stuff works.
Cell towers here and there. I mean, the fiber, if you tap in, then you got to run lines to every little place.
Yeah, I think
if you're through the air,
If you could identify two or three ways that we could improve communications, and I'll leave it at that as broad as you want, improve communications at the ranch connected with at least a rough idea of cost, then I think we wrap those three things together, and then I'd love for Kathy to do it if she will, but one of us needs to approach Steve and say, here are our ideas, here are the rough costs, this is what we'd like to do. Please tell us which one or ones you're willing to participate in and go from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that something you could do on cabin?
Yes, I'm already.
Is something you could just send to me, Mike? Well, I don't see any reason to wait until January to do this. I think in the next few weeks we ought to get a proposal to them. This is what we're thinking about. They're going to take a little while to get back to us and make a decision, and so I'd like to get that ball rolling. I'm happy to do the pavilion thing. I'm going to need Phil and Rachel's assistance in making a recommendation on where we put it. Options that I'm thinking of in the well field. That way you get the shade in the summer. You get the shade in the afternoon off the hill where the cabins are. That's one, because you're connected to water from the well field, and there's plenty of open space there.
No drainage, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have to look at drainage and erosion. We don't want to be in there. Or whether we put it up on the hill where the cabins are in some location up there. I don't think there's any place else that there's enough room that's close to the water line. I mean, we could put it out.
How would it go right next to where the old car was? Rearrange the chute. The chute was deep going in that direction.
I think putting it right there in headquarters with the connection to the trails is too crowded. We want to have some open space where people can park and be around. That's my, just my opinion, but I'm going
to
need...
But then we're not close to the bathroom.
We're putting bathrooms here.
If you're asking my opinion on that, I would suggest that on the hill, not in the field, because just runs into cattle issues. You know, we have to run the cattle through that certain way. There's a pavilion right there, then how would we do?
Well, and to answer your question, I'm anticipating water in a new septic system and men's and women's restrooms in the pavilion, as well as some cooking contraptions on one end and then open on three sides so that you can put in picnic tables or chairs. I'll work with you guys later putting mine together. Vance, how soon could you put something together on communication?
Vance?
Did you leave us?
Hello, Vance?
You want to just talk to Vance and see what he can come up
with? As far as communication, in case everybody doesn't know, the fiber optics, there is a phone, emergency phone now, on the corner of Middle Canyon and...
There's three going on up
the... Food and Body. Open the phone, push the red button, and you can dial 911.
No. Can you pick it up and
just
go right to
where? Where are we?
We've got a blue light on it.
When you turn off the Schooner Pond on the airport runway road, right there, there's a 15-foot pole with a box opened up with a red phone. Doesn't go to the government, but it goes to 911.
Yeah, so it's just
a have a comment. Just push the button and it dials out. You can't order pizza.
I tried pepperoni and pineapple, but...
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's three of them between Meadow Canyon and Johnson Canyon right now.
That's a great... At least you have a fire coming down, you can let somebody know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I assume there's some farther on up the road, but counting the one at Meadow Canyon, there's two more going between there and Johnson Canyon. They're on the right as you're going towards Johnson Canyon, and they're well marked. One of them is up there on the top of the hill, going up to Mills Creek or something like that. And anyway.
Let's set a deadline, a self-imposed deadline of December 1st to gather proposals on these three areas. Joe, you want to put together a proposal on the road, or should we just see what we can get out of these three first?
Any member can put a proposal in also. It doesn't have to come from the board.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay.
I'd rather have Larry do it. He knows more about roads than I do.
Well, and I have no problem asking him next time to put something together on more permanent type of road improvements up there. So, is everybody, I guess I would entertain a motion to, I guess we're not going to have a submitting a proposal, so let's just move forward. Does anybody have any objections moving forward that way?
I just ask.
Go ahead.
I think all... Great idea. First time I've heard that they don't have to make a donation for an applicant. Ideas are really good. I would kind of tend to agree that road maintenance, I think, is a association responsibility. And personally, the road leading to my lot, I've been an owner for 5 years, and it's never been, except for what I do when I come up twice a year, it's never been looked at. I think Paul actually said, when I told him where I was, he said, oh, I've never been back there.
But sometimes what does happen is we do go through a whole area, and if you're not there, and before you do come, you have a torrential down.
I'm the last one at the end of the road, so I understand the situation there. But one other thing that I have heard mentioned, somebody from being around on the ranch was watering spots for wildlife. And there happens to be, I think, 2,500 gallons very near to like 190, which is a green space association on lot. So a small clearing, very easy to do in the area of the Ponderosa, but a small clearing with a couple of picnic tables and a watering pond for wildlife, something like that, and they could be in different green spaces too. There's a lot of budget to use there. That's just a suggestion for people that like wildlife.
The Forest Service interestingly enough calls those cousins.
Yeah,
and that's how they identify them.
They do put up here and there. You know, water will spray and keep going up. They do.
Well, I think if you could, making us aware of those types of possibilities is great. I think between wildlife and water development, some of those things, we can do better than what we have in the past, making some small park type of areas. Obviously, I'm familiar with what the area you're talking about, but I think it's something we can look at. Well, tell me again, it's next to lot.
It's 190 is the green space owned by the association. And it's very near the 2,500 gallon reservoir tank. It's right at the base of the new road that comes down all over in the slot.
Okay,
it's right there. Yeah, I'm at the end of the slot. I'm the last one at the end of the slot.
So we'll have to look at it. Obviously, on 90 association properties, then we can look at some of those things.
there's not a lot of common areas over there in Flight Canyon as far as
not their only one
property. So, but thanks for making us aware. It's always nice to make more areas for wildlife and more picnic areas for those that are using it.
Yeah.
And so appreciate that. Anything else on this proposal? All right, if not, then we will move to a fairly quick discussion on backhoe rental and then to Kathy on cabins. And by then we should have lunch here. Oh, we have a few people join us in the meeting. All right. All right, well, just give my name so you get on the
list.
Okay.
Glad to have you. I just want to add also to there was comments about cabins or usage membership of cabins. We've always lived 8 hours away from the ranch, at least 8 hours away from the ranch. At one point we were all the way on the East Coast. So if we didn't have access to cabins, we wouldn't be able necessarily to spend time on the ranch. We love it. So I just wanted to bring that point across. In discussions about some allocation of funds for cabins. If not for that, we probably would have sold already if we couldn't come out and enjoy the ranch.
And the fact that there's cabins available makes people who don't use cabins bump into value.
Yeah.
And bump into value is definitely a bump to value booster. Anything, any improvements that we do is bump. We put a pavilion in, we put in parks in, whatever we do to improve the ranch is going to make overall our property value.
And I think you're going to find that this board and the, as well as recent past board, I can't speak for before, I think we're more inclined to do some improvements on the cabins that maybe long overdue. So we...
Yeah, and we've seen improvements. We've stayed at one and two more last couple of years. The deck and the grills and all, and we love it. I mean, we bring the family. And
Well, we're trying to do better and be better at maintaining some of those things so that they are accessible and without killing the budget, but we still want to make sure that they are kept up and maintained properly. So,
and I didn't mean to demean those when I said like,
yeah, no,
I'm just trying to follow the idea. 100%. The greatest, yeah, the greatest utilization. That's why,
yeah.
Mariah? Yes. Could you, just for my own understanding, could you find out how many volunteers do use the captain?
Yes, I keep a major record of that.
Yeah. Right? It seems like it's quite a bit, because right? There's only a couple times that there have been customers, but there have been full every week, and I'm thinking it's a large number of.
It's 100% of our members trying to use
captain. Well, I'm just asking if you would just give us, you know, just so I know what percentage maybe it is being used, and
I
help us understand a little bit more.
All right, while you're looking for that, I'll start the discussion. I know that there's fairly strong feelings around it for our renting tobacco and the dump truck, but I'm going to start with my position because it's my position. I don't know what anybody else is until I at least throw mine out there. I recognize that we purchased equipment with the idea that in addition to and justifying the purchase, in addition to us using it when it's down, then we can rent it to members. However, having worked with rental equipment in the past, people would do that kind of stuff, it is virtually impossible to get regular members to do any maintenance and those kind of things on equipment or to rent it properly, and we have a handful of qualified operators that we have used with approval of the board as it is. I think to have in our rules and otherwise the open invitation that we will lease equipment does not make any sense. Now, I know members of my own family that disagree with that, but it's just impossible to keep your equipment the way you know it's running, where it's available, and it actually functions if it's out every weekend for somebody different and
things Joe Blow readiness and those qualified operators?
Well, what I'm getting to is I think that on a case-by-case basis, then we as a board can approve the use of the equipment for this project and other projects
when we know the operator. But to have a blanket policy that we have equipment for rent makes no sense to me.
No,
and right now, within the rules and regulations, secure the fees, and so anybody that wants to use the rent and says, yes, you have to have a qualified operator. But even the quote-unquote qualified operator sometimes have left it without being greased, without being maintained, and other things. So I think we need to be able to, we need to, as a board, for the right email or otherwise, we need to have a discussion and say, yes, we can use the equipment on this. No, we can't there. That's kind of where I'm coming from. I'm one vote out of seven, but I just see equipment, the value we have in the equipment being ruined or used improperly if we're not very careful. That's my thought.
Terry, I have a question. So it's been recently asked by several members, what if we run the equipment? So then you guys have to look at, are you willing to let us, you know, use the equipment based on, so a good example right now that I'm going back and forth between me and Brent and the members is the Collins. You know, because they don't have anything sufficient for Collins to travel with, and they don't, you know, they can't afford too much, so, but it's your money, because you're paying us, basically, so what, I think that that's not the next email they're sending out is, could we use your ranch managers to help us improve our road or our driveway?
That's sort of personal.
It's their personal. Here's
my position on that.
I
ask you or they contact us and say we'd like to use the ranch manager. If it's in January, we're going to talk about it and it's a dump truck, which you're familiar with and able to run. We're going to talk about it and say, great, we'll rent you the truck with the driver in it for $50 an hour. Knock yourself out. Because we don't have but if they come in June,
yeah, yeah,
on Memorial Day weekend and say we want to rent the truck with an operator, and if you're going to
they're coming up at the end of this month, you know, so still off season.
I'm not opposed to the equipment being used on personal lot as long as the board approves and the money comes to pay the association to cover time and expense and operation because in that situation, you obviously have experience running the dump truck. It seems like that works. Well, I don't have a problem in January or February or March doing that. But
we're coming up in 2 weeks. That's when we were wanting to use the dump truck.
Okay. Well, I think that what I'd like for you to have you do is just submit a request in writing or email to me, and we can discuss it as a board and get you an answer back. You know how long you would, how much you need, you know, how many yards or how long you need the equipment for?
Well, we're between 100 and 150 yards of gravel is what we're trying to do. We have a dump trailer, but it'll only do 3 yards at a time.
And
so that's going to take a long time.
Where is the gravel coming from?
The pit.
Hopefully
we're hoping.
Like
we're just gonna do kits then.
By the water tank or the one up in?
No, they won't come up.
Okay,
So what we need you to do is we need you to send me an email and give you my email address with the particulars. So you want to buy gravel and you'd like to use the dump truck with one of our operators on it. Is that right?
And we have the
right
covered.
For
required. They have to have the permit for
BLM
or for the mineral
rights. Did you hear that?
Right. We've been trying to ask several people, what do we need to do, what we need to do, and we've been getting a runaround. We haven't been told exactly what we need to do.
You've been getting a runaround because we suspended and we decided that we were not willing to lease the equipment temporarily. And so bottom line is nobody knows, nobody knew the answer until this meeting right now. And I'm suggesting or proposing an answer. We'll have to vote on it while we're here in the meeting. Does that make sense?
Correct.
But how do we get a permit from the BLM then?
You'll have to contact the BLM field office in Kanab. The current director's name is Whit Bunting. When you call them and contact them and get your permit, and that permit will be good for whether it's now or 6 months from now getting the gravel. So you need to do that first and identify how much gravel you want. The other thing is I'm not sure, John, are you still on? Can you tell us? I don't think we have any crushed gravel for sale, do we?
I'm not selling that much gravel. I've okayed a few yards for some people, but I classified that gravel for our roads. And I just had 1,000 yards classified, but that's for the roads. I have let out a little bit of gravel, but I'm not in the gravel business. Because Phil and Rachel can't go out there and classify the gravel. They got too much work to do and backhoe is too slow. So I have to call in an outside contractor to do that. Any gravel that anybody takes from gravel pit there also needs to pay the grass 50 cents a yard for it. And that's a reclamation fee because we have to maintain that or restore that mountain there that we're taking from after it's over. That's going to cost some money. And we don't own the gravel, mineral rights to it, so you do have to pay the state for it. Also, for the county or whatever, you got to pay for that, and that's why you got to get the permit. You got to pay them for how many yards you've taken. But equal amount of yards, you got to pay to the ranch for reclamation. My gravel there is for the roads. I am not going to truck the gravel ever load on the ranch. But if somebody needs a few yards, I'm open to that. Really am.
Between Brent, you, and I, we decided that you would give them 30 yards, right? You would sell them 30 yards. So the rest of the yards...
The most I've approved so far is 30 yards, yes.
Okay.
Correct. We understand that. We were just going to do pit runs, one, because it's cheaper, and two, that's what we can afford. So we were just doing pit runs so we can keep your crushed, sorted gravel, all of it for your car.
The other problem is, so we're trying to establish the ability to commit to doing something. So we don't want to take the ranch stream gravel that's being used for the road because we shouldn't need to because there's loader, there's dump truck, there's grizzly, so there's the ability to stream it ourselves if necessary, except that we can't do that because we can't use the equipment either. We can't get a commitment from anybody to be able to hire the ranch operator's tank equipment. So other than a contractor to go up there, which is quite costly, we're stuck.
Well, let me
suggest this. Number one, I would contact Magnus and Intanav and see what it would cost to see if it's, because, you know, we can't get a crusher up there and it's not a matter of just screening gravel without having a lot of equipment. So what I would suggest is, this is Barry, send me an email outlining what you would like to do and how much you'd like to do and when you'd like to do it. Then I can discuss with the board members, including John and the caretakers, and we can then determine what we can do, what we can't do, and what the cost would be if we can do it. And then I can get back to you and give you an answer once and for all. Then you can just decide whether you want to go with, you know, one way or the other. If you want to have somebody from Johnson Canyon haul you up some gravel, or you want to contact my dad, Dale, about cinders off of his property, wherever that's coming from, or whatever you want to do. Robinson's have a gravel pit. Send me a request of what you want by email, and then I will take it from there and get you an answer back. Does that make sense?
Okay.
I think it's about $300 a load, all the load from Johnson's gravel pit to your lot on the ranch.
Yeah.
Robinson.
Yeah.
I think that's gravel pit.
Yeah.
I just
for your knowledge, I think it's about $300.
How much gravel from my place would be $300?
How much gravel is that?
And then the how much rep?
$10,000
Right, so that's $3,000 for 100 yards of
of gravel.
300
out.
And he wanted
to buy it. Oh, okay, yeah, well.
Send me the email and I'll see what I can do and give you an answer for your question. Okay?
Okay, cool.
Back to the discussion of, does anybody have any other feedback as far as the use of the equipment? I think we have to be very careful not to ruin the equipment before we've paid for it, so to speak. That's just my opinion.
I think we need to set guidelines for the approved. And maybe we can sit down. I don't know if we want to do that in a second opinion or whatever, for the approved operator and allowing them to do grant votes.
Okay. I think we can discuss that. What I would prefer is that somebody that knows, either Larry or Joe or Brent, write up those guidelines for them. I mean, I know that the tractors are typically yellow. That's about it. So.
Yeah, and then the maintenance.
So we're right. Here's a qualified candidate. We did come up with one point in time a list of maintenance and those kind of things, and I can tell you that so far for the last 2 years, I haven't been followed.
Okay, the biggest problem is that we've rented it out, and Brent, myself, and John Harris, I must have 30 hours of repairs on welding and such because nobody takes care of it. They don't treat it. So I'm not
well,
as good running it unless we have a certified operator.
We might have made a list, but we haven't, like we haven't empowered ranch caretakers or trained them or what. Just like you go to an equipment rental place, they show you how to use it or blah, 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 blah. When you bring it back, they inspect it. There's all these things that are checked off.
What I would suggest is anybody that asks you guys, hey, we'd like to use the equipment, just have them call me and say, no, I'm learning late. Go talk to Barry about it. I'll figure it out from there.
Okay.
Otherwise, then we're going to have five different stories of what, five different expectations. And I know those that there are those around there that have used and say, hey, yeah, you can rent the ranch equipment. And I'd be the first one to say, other than specific circumstances, no.
Does anybody here have any opposing or different views on this than what Barry has stated already?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Do you have any different or opposing views on rental of the ranch equipment?
I've got mixed, because it is. We're so far out there, and there is a lot of people that want to do work on their property. My son's got equipment, so we use his equipment. But for the ranch road, I think it should be open for those that are qualified or approved. To be able to do the ranch roads. There's too many roads out there for a ranch manager to take care of them. And if you get a neighborhood like you guys, getting people in your area to say, hey, let's take a weekend or a Saturday and work on these roads.
I'd be happy to do it.
And then if you don't have anybody, these guys,
if you mind and do more,
the hog on that. Let me
clarify. There's no question the equipment can and should be used on ranch road maintenance in the situation like you had with Food and Pop. You say, hey, we're going to do this project. The board says, great. Food can operate the equipment as long as we're satisfied and go ahead. My question is my concern is just renting it to people for work on their own property.
That's hard. I mean, it's so far out there, it's really difficult to...
Typically, in most circumstances, then as long as it's the ranch road stuff, then we have the gravel, then the ranch cover, there's no cost.
And the BLM state is a stretch. You have that agreement. You do not pay.
Yeah, there's no
state. Get approval of an allocated amount, which is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
They want to know how much you take.
Yeah. And as long as it's to improve the property that the minerals are coming from, then there's no, you don't have to get a permit or pay the fee to the BLM.
Just to answer your question, I'll talk to anyone obviously. I don't have a problem. We're not really wealthy. We feel pretty privileged to be able to be owners here. We come a long way, and when we do, we stop and see her, and we rent a tractor and bring it in.
Yeah.
I've got, I think, a mile-long driveway. And so I would love to be able to run down and get a piece of equipment at headquarters or something, But I think you're right. I think people don't care for it like it's their own. Or it's granted regardless of where it's happening from. So I, you know, I would support your view on that. As much as it does help me, I support you.
Well, and just for everyone, I think everybody, we've tried this for a couple of years and it just has not worked very well. So I think we have to keep it closer. And it's not saying it's not used. But we just need to have a discussion with the board as to what it's going to be used for, when, and who's going to operate it, and make that decision on a case-by-case basis, rather than a blanket policy of we have equipment for rent, come and borrow our property.
It's going to be hard for you to allow somebody to do it and tell somebody else they can't, because somebody is keeping track. Right? I've already been told that.
I agree and acknowledge that. We have to be fair.
Yeah.
And the idea of having approval from the board is not to say no, it's to say yes, but here are the qualifications. An operator.
We think it should be a blanket policy, but there should be restrictions, requirements, rules, and everything else that have to be sorted out in order to be allowed to use the equipment. But the equipment should be there with the ability to use it.
No.
So as long as you meet the requirements.
Well, I the problem with some of that is having people to enforce those requirements, which we have not been able to have without hiring extra and adding cost. And so I acknowledge what you're saying. I just disagree, and I hopefully I'm doing so respectfully, but that's just based on the history and the experience that I've had. So. Anybody have any other comments before we go to the next topic?
I have a comment. You know, our equipment is old, and it's not something, you know, a rental yard keeps fairly decent and new equipment, and they do charge a whole lot more than we could. And I don't know. If we wear it out and keep breaking it, because it's come back broken almost literally every time that we've let it out. And I know this is because of a lot of heartburn for people, and the gentleman was talking about, you know, hauling 100 yards costing $3,000 to have it hauled in. I understand that. I had 80 loads of it hauled in by Allen Steed at $300 a load, and about 25 yards of it I put on a ranch load to be able to get up to my, it hurts, and it's expensive. But I had one person here that I agreed to put out a few yards for, and I said $850 a yard on it, and that person thought that was way too much. And money for that, but that's a good deal at $850 a yard. But anyway, I'm not going to keep clapping on it. But I'm against renting this out because it hasn't worked so far. Unless we can come up with somebody that they could use, and it has to be well planned ahead of time. And anyway, That's enough of my thought right now.
All right, so we'll leave it at they're going to send them an email to me, and I will then try to get them back some figures and some recommendations, because we want to help any way we can, but we need to be careful in not ruining the equipment. It's very old, not just old, but very old is the motion. So I will go ahead and make a motion that we not lease the equipment as a general rule, and that each rental has to be submitted to the board for approval.
Oh, sorry.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll turn some time over to Kathy as our last agenda item, and then the plan is discussion with Kathy. We're going to break for lunch. Then we'll have an executive session that we need the board here. And we need the caretakers and Mariah to remain. Everyone else, excuse, it will be a closed door meeting. So, anyway, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. I know I was approved for $10,000 for two cabins for a remodel. That's just not going to be enough. I, for one, have only used the cabins once personally, so it's not something that I am trying to do because I use the cabins. I sell the real estate, and I get a lot of people that make comments that, you know, they like the cabins, but they are like mobile homes. They're not cabins. And I would really like to see it improve. I've gone through it, and there are some real concerns. You've got a lot of the windows that are leaking. They're old windows. They need to all be replaced. And that alone, Jeff, you fill in here. He is somebody, Jeff Collins, one that's asking to rent that equipment. He has a contact in California to bring these windows down. And so I did some figures, and that was, they were more than what Jeff has, and Jeff's willing to do the work for free. It was going to be $2,500 just to have somebody come in and install them. And that was the first, or that was the last trip. The first trip, they wanted to do their own measurements, and they were going to charge for that too. So, the nail-ons are $1,795 for all the windows except for the upper sliders, the bedroom sliders, or the retro for $2,078. And then for the sliders at Home Depot, they range from $409 to $488. So that puts us over half just for the windows on the front, you know, we definitely need some help. Well, that is a priority because they're leaking. They're all leaking. And so there is damage in the windowsill, so that is something that really needs to be done.
Have you identified a second priority yet?
Second priority? Oh, yeah.
What's number two?
The tankless water heaters. I think that the 7 and 8, the reason why we've addressed them 7 and 8 is because they're going to be accessible during the winter months, and they're close to the right headquarters where we can get Phil and Rachel's help during the winter. I need to probably, I talked a little bit to Brent about that and also Jeff, but if we put about $500, there's not going to be a whole lot, that's about a six and a half gallon. There's not a whole lot. You've got your kitchen, your bathroom sink, and your shower is all. You guys would need something that's a little bit bigger because you live there. But for that, about $500 on that.
Per cabin.
So
you're talking about just starting with cabin 7 and 8 first?
7 and 8. And, I did the tongue and groove. We're going to need 38 linear feet of the 1x6s. And the bid on that for the whole cabin, the ceilings, the walls, is $1,520.
Where did you get that bid from?
I got that from the...
You put it on the desk? On Fredonia?
Yeah, Fredonia. Mm-hmm.
That's why I bought the cabin, yeah, too.
That's not any of the extra lumber that's needed. If we do the tankless water heaters of $500, we want to take that closet. It's an exterior wall, which we want an exterior wall, but make that for, bathroom, closet, linen closet, whatever. The tongue and groove, I really feel like that would make it a little bit more rustic instead of our mobile home. The majority of the people that I visit with me about their visits and after they purchase is that the cabins are just, they really feel like that would be nicer if they were more like cabins. They know that they've been told that they're rustic, but it would be really nice to have that. And that's not including any of the other things that need to be done. I've got 6 to 8 people that are willing to come and do free time at the cabin for cabin time. And I'm sure we probably could get more if we put that out on the Facebook, on the site. And so Joe, he's got the screen doors. Right.
I put a screen door on cabin one. I put two on cabin. And I've got two more screen doors. I was going to put them on the porch on 7 and 8. Yeah.
Okay. So
they got to be welded together yet. I haven't done that. I'll do that this coming spring.
Is that an expense or is that something that's
very well paid for?
Okay. So that's, I put a zero down on that. So just for one cabin, and that's not counting the, you know, we definitely need some insulation. We did look through, and there's some insulation in the ceilings that are missing. And I was told by Brent that he didn't think that we had insulation in the second first level. He didn't think that there was any insulation. So we definitely need some insulation on the cabin.
I mean, he said 7 and 8, there was a light last one still that they don't have insulation.
He said he was not aware of that, and so I don't know. But the upper did have the insulation, but there's some missing. You can see that there's staff in there. So, you know, just for one cabin alone, and that's, you know, not a whole lot of the stuff. We're not talking cosmetics or anything like that, other than the tongue and groove, is about $6,000. Between 5 and 6.
Per cabin.
Per cabin. And that is not 10,000. But that, I have not included any of this other stuff that we would need, you know, need deadbolts, that some of the doors are holes in it. If we were to replace the doors, that's, you know, and maybe we could get those in different times for that. I was hoping to get 2 cabins a year, is what I was hoping.
Let me ask this. So 6,000 roughly. For cabin. You're looking at increasing your, you want to increase your budget by an additional $2,000.
We took $4,000 from the furniture and added that in it. And so we wouldn't be buying any furniture with that unless we, you know, was able to increase it a little bit. But yeah, I was hoping to increase each cabin about 7 or 8, trying to get some of these other stuff, but I haven't hit those.
Well, I think at this point, and I'm open to comments from anybody else. I think at this point, if you want to, I mean, you're submitting your request right now, I think we just need to review and look at the budget between now and the next meeting, and then we can say, yes, we can pull from, I mean, the funds are the funds. But there's a chance we can shift some things to be able to provide, because I think cabinets need to be a priority, and I'd rather see one done than none done. If we can do 2 at a time, 2 per year, then that's great. Some of the cabins are going to need a lot more help. If you're actually starting on the cabins that are probably in bad shape. So the expense is going to go up. But
yeah,
we just need to plan on that. So does anybody else have any comments or questions?
Yeah, what I was trying to with Alan Anderson is, I did cabin too. I tried to mouse proof it. Putting concrete wallboard around it. I'm in favor of the window, but as far as I'm concerned, windows should be secondary. I think we should mouse proof the cabin first. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I don't enjoy waking up with a mouse in my bed or dropping from the ceiling. I think we need to put concrete wallboards around all the cabins, and we should start with 7 and 8 and mouse proof it as much as possible. And they say a cabin can't be mouse proof. My cabin's been up there for 25 years. Never been a mouse in my cabin. Guaranteed.
Yeah,
I had a concrete wallboard around mine. It was down 6 inches. I was talking to Phil about it. That's what we're going to have to do. But with all the water problems he had and a few other things, he couldn't even come close to doing it. We're going to have to mouse proof him.
I'd rather have more
fire on the firewood, more wood. I'd rather have it more sanitary than I would heat it. But that's just my opinion.
From a cleaner, angry.
You clean up, you know.
I should have had my dress layers on.
Okay, so you talking 7 and 8, or are you talking upper cabins? I know the upper. Okay, the 7 and 8.
Have to be done, but 7 and 8 use the most. We should do those first.
And I was aware that there would be real problems.
People sleep with the doors open. It's so hot in the summer, they can't keep the mice out. That's why I bought the screen doors, so we can leave the door open and close the screen door. And it's a steel door with a metal screen, and the mice can't chew through it. That'll help keep it cooler. But they need to put the wallboard on the bottom of it. Or she's not going to want anybody to clean it.
So what I would do is suggest adding the cost of the cement wallboard to what the number is you have. And then we evaluate and look at what you're
doing. The upstairs in 7 and 8, both, they're just intolerable during the summertime. They're so hot.
Yeah, well, the insulation is going to make a big difference on that because the insulation, there's a bunch of
different. Insulation. It has been suggested one time that we put a solar fan in and vent them. so we can put some of that hot air out of the cabin. And that wouldn't cost us once we've got put in and run itself, so we might look into that.
Okay, I haven't put anything in for solar or anything like that, so.
And we have a refrigerator on Trevor Nation to the outside because I'm putting heat in there.
Well, and another thing Jeff said, because of the problem that we had with the stove and, you know, the people that had rented it said that there was some problems there. He said that he could go ahead, because the kitchen's going to be a major expense in a remodel. And so he said that he could divert the vending without a remodel. So that's another thing that... Jeff Collins, and he does, that's what he does for a living, is remodels. So.
You have screen doors for upstairs on the bucket?
No,
I have screen doors on the
bottom. With the bottom?
Sliding doors.
Oh, I thought that's the one you were talking about. You're not talking the screen door upstairs, you're talking
about the screen door on the bottom floor on the deck.
On the deck, okay. So there's this one. No, I don't have screen
doors. Sliding doors on both of them are broke, right? Sliding door for the screen, because that would help a lot upstairs too. If you had a working screen door that people could open up and not have to worry about some bobcat or something jumping in their room, you know.
Peacocks and definitely not in their bed. And you just shut this.
So I just didn't know if you noticed that both of those need sliding doors upstairs on the deck.
You just put in a heat vent, put in the roof or something. But when you get caught up there, it just starts to let the heat out. Your laundry room should probably get that one installed. Your laundry room is miserable on
yeah.
Okay, so your request is that we add $1,000 or $2,500 to your budget.
So I don't know what this stuff is. I'll look at that.
Because what you're really asking for is money. I mean, we'll figure out how to do the stuff, but we have to be able to pay for it. Is that right?
Right.
So,
yeah, I need to have the approval because it is over the 20% of the wood and the windows before snowfall, so we can have them delivered before and get it allocated to the county. So that is something that probably would like to have done as soon as possible.
Well, I just did the wooden high cabin. I like it, but it's a luxury. Windows that are leaking is an absolute must, and I think house proofing is a must. But I don't think you need to go in and do a cabin, you know, do what needs to be done.
Even if we do one, not buy both and just do seven and
water
use eight for sand.
By the way, would make those cabins available for the winter time.
Yeah,
you use
that,
those cabins just by putting water use and nothing else.
If it's what paint and do it in or how. And you say that before we go down.
Well, most of those have this aniline and stuff that really is.
I
agree that over time, and this kind of group stuff of Ducash is really inexpensive on a square footage basis. It's just, you know, where do we fit it? So put together your numbers, your recommendations, send us all an email, we'll figure it out, and then we'll have to figure out what we can do on this. On the budget, and we'll say this is what we can do, and then you take it from there. I have no problem. I think we have to start somewhere in getting cabins updated and updated. Water heaters key, windows key. I think roofs are in pretty good shape, but venting and
all
kinds
of things.
Now, everything
to go. Venting work on the garden. We'll get it finished on the end the whole time.
I think that some of the money for those. He shows the cabin in everything he does.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
brings slides up.
I
come to him.
Well, I think there's no question we need to ask for.
He had mentioned that. So, you know, if I could get enough for the one and hopefully get down to the other. But if I can get the funds approved to do the windows, Jeff needs to come down and do the final measure on that. Jeff, are you still there?
I am.
So you're going to be down on Thanksgiving weekend. You can make the windows?
Correct. Well, I can take a look at them for the leaking issues as well. See if while I'm there on Thanksgiving, I can address some of that.
Well, I had Daniel through the cabins with me, and he said the windows are definitely something to look at.
Right. Well, he's been fine, too. Somebody was saying that they like to focus on one kind of one cabin at a time. But things like windows are way more efficient to, for me anyway, to be able to install 7 and 8 back-to-back. It's probably 50% more efficient for me than it would be to do 7, come back another time and do 8. So it would just be easier to bring all the windows, bang them all out, and they're done.
I don't think that's an issue. I think we're in agreement that when we do the windows for both. My concern is whether we hold off and do the wood paneling inside, or if we make do with that while we do some of the other essentials like mouse proofing and getting the hot water heater stuff. So once Kathy gets the numbers together, we'll just go through and see what we can afford and what we can do. See what we can do.
Right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Before we have
one. Yeah.
About how many lots. I'm going to go by lots because some of them are lots that are used by those who lease. So we have 80 lots that are using the company.
Okay, you have
full comment on cabins, but not this cabin.
Correct.
9 and 10 need wood burning stoves for them. Then. Whatever feeding them out of there and wood burning stoves. Number 4 needs a new wood burning stove as well as a land that's 4 and that cabin that you could sell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just priced out a wood burning stove plus the increased insurance cost for a price up in Bryan then. And we went with the gas. The standalone looks like a wood fire. It's vented to the outside, but it's propane. That way you walk in, you flip the switch, you have the heat, and you have a fire.
That's great.
Anyway, we need to look at the cost because anytime you have open fire, then you have to buy wood, and then you have everybody. So I think, that we need to look at propane stoves, especially with the fire hazard we have, rather than continuing to get more and more wood burning stoves.
You ran into the outside?
They'll vent right, like my house, it's vented right
through the door.
Yeah. Right into the, yeah, through the wall. So you don't have to punch a hole in the ceiling or roof or have leaks or anything else. They're more expensive on the front end, but they're more efficient because you're using propane. You don't have to chop wood. You don't have to worry about that, and you don't have to worry about them burning the house.
Okay. They were in 9, those people who claimed that we were going to kill them. Because they tried to use the red tag heaters that were in there, and they have no other source of heat.
Yeah,
so.
we need to address that, and I'll work with you on that. All right, and there's nothing.
I just want to point out that I think you should just say it is under 30% usage by the members. So as far as something all the members use for those money, only 30% are using it. That's not 100%.
Well, I'm with you 100% there.
I do want to keep improving them, not like we're doing.
But for me, I'm just saying this before we have break, just about I fell out of block, but not really. But for me, the property up there is more valuable because of the availability of the cabin, even though I never use it.
Yeah, I agree with all of that.
Okay.
My bet is Dale won't approve cabin.
Let's talk about next meeting. When are we going to have our next board meeting? I propose that we have it the second or third Saturday in January, and we need to have it a warm climate. I'm happy to host it, but I'm open to any volunteers that.
So no December meeting?
Normally we should have everything wrapped up and you guys should have your hands full and it's the holidays and stuff, so
no. We're not more than that.
Yeah. Any objections to not having a meeting in December?
No objections.
Look at your calendar and tell me whether the second or third Saturday in January looks best. That would be the 5th or the 12th. Excuse me, the 12th or the
12th and 19th.
And I would prefer the 12th because it's up to me.
That's just normally is.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be the third Saturday, but we changed it a year and a half ago and did it. So I have it actually on both Saturdays on my calendar. So.
Well,
unless somebody else wants to volunteer, we'll have it here at my office. You say 10 or 11. I don't want to.
12?
Do it 12.
10 or 11.
Oh. 10 is fine.
I was so used to being here at 11, I always left at 7:30, and I
just got to leave at 6:30.
Next meeting at 10 o'clock here at my office. And again, we'll provide some kind of food at noon. Okay? 12th, January 12th.
Second Saturday.
Thank you guys for coming and helping us out. Your opinions are valuable, and anytime you can attend, we'd love.
Also, all the people on the call, and if you guys could identify yourself, we'd like to put you on our roll.
Is that Destiny?
Yeah. Or not? Yeah. I'm Jeff Collins, lot 121.
Anybody else on the phone?
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
All right. John, we're adjourning the meeting. Well, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting to January unless you have an objection.
No objection from me.
I second it.
The only objection that I got is I don't know how you're going to deliver my food this far on time from me.
Okay.